Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And as we sit here this evening on the 21st of January, we are literally 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, and yet there are 130 free agents that are still left to be signed. And it is getting a little worrisome when you've got J.D. Martinez, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Yu Darvish, and other notable, Jake Arrieta, that aren't signed. And, you know, you think they're all going to get signed, but what if Scott Boras, who is the agent for all of those, what if he decides to hold them out for a while? What if, you know, they sign late in spring training and then start the season off slow, or the pitchers get delayed for a couple of weeks, or God forbid, some of these guys, you know, kind of hold out until, you know, mid-season or something? It would be a disaster for people drafting early, and particularly guys like J.D. Martinez, which is, you know, going second, third round at the worst. And, you know, it seems like the Red Sox and Scott Boras are so far away from a deal. It is worrisome. Now, we could come back next week and everything, all these top guys are signed. But even some of your second and third tier guys, Eduardo Nunez, guys like that aren't signed. And, you know, I'm in this NFBC draft and we're about winding that up, and you're taking guys that don't have jobs. And what happened if Eric Hosmer goes to San Diego? I mean, does that hurt his value? What if J.D. Martinez goes to San Diego? What if he goes back to Arizona? You know, so there's a lot of things we just don't know yet, and these guys not getting signed is becoming a problem from my perspective, and I would just like to see it resolved once and for all. We've got a great show planned for you this evening. We're going to start off with some Twitter questions, and then we are going to spend all of our time on first base doing the first base preview. Tim has done a great job of putting all that information together. It is out on the site already. Just go out to prospect361.com to the fantasy tab, and you will see the rankings there. You'll see the catchers from last week and first base from this week. We're going to have to start doubling up at some point or do a midweek show because we're running a little behind. And because we still want to have our wonderful draft podcast coming up in about a month. And so we got to get most of them through here in the next 4 weeks. Maybe we can stretch it out to 5 weeks. I don't want to get into March and be having that particular podcast. We want to get it early so people can hear our perspective and our listeners' perspective on where people are going in real time, live, and on the air. Before I bring on the great Tim McCloud, just if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at RichWilsonP61. Of course, you can get Tim out on Facebook, Timothy LMC as his Twitter account. And this Tim McCloud, MCLEOD, he is very, very active out on Facebook. If you also want to go and rate and review us, you can do that on iTunes. We would appreciate that. Just drop us a note and tell us what you think. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McCloud. Mr. McCloud, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How are you keeping?
I'm doing quite well, Timmy, and it's I've been following you on Facebook a lot recently, and you discovered some kind of pun site that Timmy, you could write for this pun site. I mean, they are right up your alley. So
yeah, I've been having some fun with it, Rich. You got to laugh, right? Laughter's always.
I'm laughing, laughing and shaking my head, kind of in a mode at all at the same time.
But you know, Rich, you got to look at it from your very, very shallow, self-centered perspective. Okay, anything I put up on Facebook, odds are good that I'll never run it through on the podcast. So, you know, you escape a lot of that this way, right?
I don't know about that, Timmy, but I did quite enjoy it. But anyway, how are you keeping, Tim?
Good. Busier than a one-armed paper hanger today, Rich. I've just been giving her working on rankings, and I've scooped a Sunday morning bit on the Fantasy Radio Network with Joe Pisapia, and we started this morning, so I'll be on at 9 every Sunday right through baseball season, and I did 2 loads of laundry and cooked and everything else. I'm miffed about the laundry, Rich. How does this happen? You put 14 socks in, you get 13 socks out, okay? What's up with that?
Yeah, it's funny. Jerry Seinfeld does a very, very funny bit on that the socks are trying to escape. And in fact, I just watched his comedy special on Netflix last night. He went through a whole routine on the socks are the ones that are trying to run away and get away, because, you know, when you put everything in the wash, everybody's doing a dance. And then when you take them off, everybody is stopped doing the dance. And then the socks get stuck on the side, and that's how they escape, because, you know, they're the lesser of the clothes. So it's a whole shtick he does on that. It's very, very funny.
Yeah, Laughing used to do one too. What was it? Sock It To Me?
Yeah, I think so, Timmy. I think so. But congratulations on your new gig. I can go out and check that out and hear the great musings of Tim McLeod. You can also catch me all the time out on Sirius. I'm MLB Baseball Network and Fantasy, and just doing that as well. But this show is what we – it's been the mainstay. This is our 9th year together, Tim. You believe that?
Our 9th year. I thought it was 8, but you know, I need to obviously get new batteries for the abacus.
I started in 2009, so, and I'm pretty sure. Well, maybe you came on in 2010, so it is probably our 8th year together. You're right; it's my 9th year on the show, so we'll knock it back 8 years, Timmy. So we haven't had the 7-year itch, I don't believe.
Yeah, I was going to say just the two of us is probably 7 years, I would think now, Rich. It's been a while and a lot of fun. It really has.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Always fun. But of course, my most favorite part of any of the shows is when we do Guess the Player. And Timmy, I've been meaning to do this Guess the Player. And since we're not really in baseball season yet, I thought we'd do a musical Guess the Player.
Ooh, that improves my odds marginally.
Okay, well, it should, Timmy, because... So here in Charlotte, we've had issues with getting major acts. There was some, you probably didn't know about this,
right,
but some bathroom issue when we first moved here.
Yep.
I don't know. It was a big mess, and none of the musical stars. The only person that came is Joe Bonamassa, because he tours everywhere. But anyway, that's all cleared up, so to speak. So now a lot of acts are touring and stopping through Charlotte, and one modern act I've never seen is Bon Jovi. And I've had numerous times to see him in New Jersey when I lived there, but he was always playing a giant stadium. I just don't want to go and watch with 80,000 people. So he's coming to the Spectrum Arena, you know, 20,000 people. So Lori and I are probably going to head off in April to go to that. So
right.
I don't know if you know, Tim, but there's a guitar player named Phil X who Richie Sambora got fired, and Phil X is now playing with him. His last
name is
Zinidis, I believe. X-I-N. He's
Canadian. Right?
All right, he's Canadian. Yeah. So this is why I think you've got a major advantage on this. But Tim, I have to ask you, because this is an obscure kind of musical knowledge thing, and I just want to know if you know this. How did John Bon Jovi first meet Phil X, and how did they get together? Tim, this is a deep Canadian question, Timmy. Do you know the answer?
Ooh. Well, my gut feeling, okay, and this is just a pure guess because I don't know for sure, but I know Bon Jovi did a couple of their albums in Vancouver, okay, many, many years ago. And my guess would be Richie was too drunk to play, and they had to get and they had to get Phil X in to cover for a couple of the dates or do some studio work. How's that?
That's pretty good, Timmy. It is absolutely incorrect, though. So here is the story for all of you and people who just tune into the show for the first time going, oh, good Lord, these guys aren't even talking baseball. Trust me, we're going to get to it. So back in the 90s, John Bon Jovi cut a song for a movie. The song was called Blaze of Glory, Timmy. It's very popular. I'm sure you've heard of it. Do you know going down in a blaze of glory, something like that. So so do you know who co-wrote that song with him? Aldo Nova, the great Canadian musician. Do you know in Life is but a fantasy. Do you have something fantasy life? Anyway, he's actually prolific, Timmy, from a songwriting standpoint. He's written Grammy award-winning songs for Celine Dion and just, I mean, a who's who from a musical standpoint. And he helped John Bon Jovi write this song. Who do you think was the guitar player for the Aldo Nova band back in the early 90s? Phil X. So John Bon Jovi used to collaborate on stage with Aldo Nova, and Phil X was there, and that's how they met. So how's that for obscurity, Timmy? I've helped your Canadian knowledge here. I feel like I've done this.
Well, not only that, Rich, but you've made the show X-rated.
That's true. So anyway, go check all you folks. Go check out Phil X on YouTube. He's a very, very crazy character, great guitar player, and quite just a crazy person. He's just a fun guy. But anyway, Tim, that's my trivia for tonight. Probably will never come up. It'll never come up in conversation, but if it does, you're ready to go.
And you know what, Rich? If you really want to have some fun, go to YouTube and punch in Phil X, because he did a lot of studio stuff, covers of popular bands, some Zeppelin, etc., and just some excellent stuff. It's rather obscure, again, like his meeting with Bon Jovi, but Phil X is an excellent guitarist. He really is, and he's a hoot.
Yeah, Phil X and the Drillers, and it's his band, and he has a little YouTube site called Fretted Americana, where he does all kinds of vintage guitars, and he's quite prolific, and he's actually been in a lot of very big bands, and is a big studio musician as well, and finally got on with the gig with John Bon Jovi. So I'll get a chance to see Phil X, Timmy, if I get backseat passes. I will mention my good friend and Canadian, knows everything about Canada, but did not know the Aldo Nova connection.
And didn't get Moxie Sail On, Sail Away either. Oh,
that's all right. Timmy,
I'm going to lose my passport.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe I'm trying to gain that. I'm trying to help with this NAFTA thing that our president seems to want to get rid of. And I'm here to try to mend those fences, Tim.
Well, and mending is a good thing, Rich. It really is. It really is.
Timmy, let's get started. Let me bring up the show notes. We've got a couple of Twitter questions I need your help with. Collins asks, where does Corey Seager fall in with these guys? First of all, Carlos Correa, Trey Turner, Alex Bregman, who in many sites is shortstop eligible, Corey Seager, and I guess it's still in there, Francisco Lindor. So, Timmy, where would you take Corey Seager in comparison with all those other guys?
Very last, Rich. Corey Seager sort of amazes me. Yeah, I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, like what I saw. He's put up decent numbers for a shortstop, but I don't think he, and my shortstop rankings are going to reflect it, I don't think he's anywhere near the caliber of a player right now to be rewarded with an early to mid second round pick in drafts. I think he's being vastly overdrafted at this point in time, and amongst that cast of characters, he falls in right at the bottom.
And according to the ADP at the moment, Trey Turner at the top with an ADP of 5.26, Carlos Correa 14, Francisco Lindor, 21, Alex Bregman with 35, Corey Seager, 39. So the ninth pick in the third round is where he is going. So, Timmy, right after that, who would you rather own, Corey Seager or Elvis Andrews?
Elvis Andrews.
And you can get him on the 55th pick in the ADP of 55, so at least a round later. It starts to get interesting after that. Jean Sikora, Xander Bogaerts, Javier Baez. Any of those three guys that you'd rather have over Corey Seager? Is that where he fits in?
I think he fits in. I think he fits in just before that group, Rich. But you know, I just think he's being overdrafted right now in a lot of cases. Hey, you know, the power potential is there, as are the RBIs. He's not running. Batting average is decent, but when you compare him to any, Bregman, for instance, you're looking at 2020 potential. I'll take that 2020 before I'll take the 27 home runs, maybe somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it's tough, Timmy, because you want, in general, I mean, you can play it however you want, but in general, you want speed out of your middle infield. So potentially, if you've got, if you pick second and you're able to get the little guy out there, Jose Altuve, maybe Corey Seager starts to make sense there. But if you don't have any speed up the middle, it becomes very, very difficult to compete, particularly in a rotisserie league. That's why you need some speed at the shortstop position.
Well, yeah, because you start looking at, for the most part, first and third, you're not gaining anything there. You got some big boppers in the outfield. The only change this year, apparently, with the time clock coming into play, we'll also need some speed out of our pitching, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's the big that's one of the big talks. And you know, it's interesting. This whole thing with free agents not signing, Timmy, and you know, I've talked to a lot of people, and you know, there's the C word starting to come up, collusion. And everybody I talk to seems to believe there is no collusion. Again, it's going back to the fact of people do not want to give guys in their early 30s big contracts because they know how that ends. And then I bring up the fact of, well, it's here's the problem. All these guys are coming up so early now, their best years are no longer from 27 to 31. Their best years are really 24 to 29, something like that. That's when you should pay these guys. So you're minimally paying these guys. They're going through arbitration, which they're getting some money. But when it's the big paydays, all the teams are going, oh, you're not worth it anymore. That's a tough position to be in.
Well, yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, I hate to use the C word myself, Rich, but you know, when you see certain things happening, and I'll just toss this one out at you, okay? Jay Bruce, 3 years, 39. Kendrys Morales, 3 years, 39. If I'm not mistaken, Mark Trumbo was somewhere around 3 years, 39. They're all the same player, more or less, and they're all signing for the same money. Doesn't that at least tweak your interest a bit?
It does, Timmy, but how about this instead of throwing out the word collusion, which, you know, if MLB baseball gets found guilty of collusion, I mean, it's treble damages. So you're talking tremendous sums of money that, I mean, they would be risking a lot. How about this as a notion that pretty much everybody's got the same models. Everybody's got the same Harvard MBA guy who's running the team now. They're all looking at the same data, and they're all coming up with similar kind of analysis, and you throw out that the Yankees aren't in play, the Dodgers aren't in play, the Red Sox basically aren't in play, and then there's not this mound of money there, and there's just not enough Dave Dombrowski's out there who are more old school, and I think you're getting this cookie cutter how to evaluate players, and everybody's following it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You throw the TV deal expiring in 2021 into the mix, and yeah, you've got a recipe for short-term contracts, right?
Exactly, Timmy. And this collective bargaining agreement, I really the one they just passed, and it's up in 2021 as well. There could be some problems because I know that the players are not happy. They can't be. There's 130 free agents out here, and it is the 21st of January. They cannot be happy with what's happening.
Well, no, they can't be happy at all, and. You know, if it wasn't for Curtis Granderson signing this week, would we have any news?
Well, I didn't even know. I didn't know Curtis Granderson. Curtis Granderson, who did he sign with?
He signed with the Jays, a one-year, $5 million contract. And then the Jays, to fill in the rest of their outfield, traded for Randall Grichuk.
I actually kind of like that, Tim. I think he'll get playing time there. You know, he's going to have a below-average batting average, but the power is for real.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that both Dalton Pompey and Anthony Alford endorse that deal.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But I do think Randall Grichuk, he could hit 35, 40 home runs, about 220. And, you know, not going to help your team so much in rotisserie, but like in a points league, that's I think that's a big potential deal for him.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a big deal for him. And you're right. In that park, he could hit 35 home runs. There's no doubt in my mind, and join the ranks of Mr. Olson and Mr. Gallo, right?
Yeah, I hope Greg Olson, we're going to talk about him tonight, is not in the same category as Joey Gallo. I hope not, but he could be, Timmy. But Randall Grichuk just, I mean, never walks, at least Joey Gallo does. So at least you got recovery in an on-base percentage league, but man, the guy never walks, and he swings and misses a ton, but man, the power is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's about time Grichuk earns his lofty draft placing. Hey, you know, the guy drafted right before him has set the bar pretty high, right?
That's true. That would be, in fact, no, it was Ryan Rama Grichuk was picked before Michael Trout.
Sorry, yes. Yeah, sorry, the guy behind him.
Yeah. So Timmy, let me go back. One final question. And again, I know that Corey Seager is better than this guy. I know that, everyone. So don't like yell at me that, oh, come on, they're two different players. But if I can get Didi Gregorius, Timmy, with his 25 home runs last year, 87 RBIs, 73 runs, I can get him with an ADP of 114. Why am I going to spend on an ADP of 39 in the third round for Corey Seager? Isn't it a similar type of player?
I would have to attribute a move of that nature, Rich, to some form of substance abuse. That's all I can come up with.
What do you mean? You think that's crazy? You would never do that?
Well, no, yeah. Why would you take Corey Seager at 39 when you can get Gregorius? It's got to be alcohol or drugs fueling it, right?
Yeah, Corey Seager played in 145 games, Timmy. Do you know offhand how many home runs he hit? Because I have it sitting in front of me.
I am going to guess at 23.
Boy, Timmy, you're good. This is why you're the great Tim McLeod. 22. 22 home runs.
Yeah.
Gregorius hit 25, had more RBIs. Seager had 7 or 8 more runs, and they both – Corey Seager batted 295 and Gregorius, I think, was 280. I don't understand that. I mean, it's like, I know you're betting on the come still with Corey Seager, but please, 287 for Didi Gregorius.
Well, yeah, and I think Gregorius stole a few bases too, didn't he?
Yeah, he's three. And, yeah, Corey Seager sold, I think, the same similar amount. So he sold 4.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Corey Seager sells – so. And again, he had 26 home runs in 2016, but 22 is – that's average power nowadays.
Yeah, 22 home runs does not get you onto a top 10 list of anything. No, definitely not.
So top jobber says, I really like Walker Buehler. He could win 12 to 14 games with a 3.30 ERA and a 1.15 whip and with that lineup behind him. What do you think, Timmy? Young right-hander with the Los Angeles Dodgers – feels a little lofty to me.
Yeah, it feels a little lofty to me too, Rich. He could win 12 to 14 games. I would strongly bet against the 3.30 ERA. I would think something closer to 3.80, 3.90. Maybe a 1.15 whip. But first he's got to have a spot in that rotation, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But Timmy, I think he will. I mean, maybe not out of the gate, but boy, that arm is pretty special. And you know, he's definitely now 3 years removed from Tommy John surgery. So, and he looked pretty good when he was up in relief.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see in LA is, Yeah, he's going to get innings. He's going to pitch. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you get Kershaw and Wood and Hill, made a rule. Guaranteed Rue and Hill will miss some time. That's sort of like a rule. I think they prefer to have Maeda in the bullpen as compared to starting. Wilmer Font might get a few starts in there. And it'll be interesting to see his jersey. Will they use a small or a large font, Rich? But
very, very well played. I mean, you're sure you're not contributing to this pun site? So.
No, maybe anonymously, but that's about it.
I think he'll do 160, Tim. I think, yeah. So let's go. Clint Kershaw and Alex Wood are guaranteed. Rich Hill is going to miss time, as you said. Maeda, you're right. I think they want him in the bullpen. And Rue, I mean, come on. I mean, how much is he going to put in? So unless they sign another guy, I think there is an opportunity, unless you really believe Brock Stewart, who I like a lot, but you know, is Brock Stewart going to stay healthy? Do they like him more in the bullpen? I think Buehler will be up, and I think he'll contribute. And I could see him getting 20 starts.
Okay, yeah, you're a bit more bullish than me. I was thinking somewhere 15 to 18, somewhere in that range. But yeah, when you start looking at Rich Hill and Hyunjin Ryu, yeah, you know, and let's face it, the Dodgers aren't. They're not going to work Clayton Kershaw overly hard. He'll take his regular spin in the rotation, but they want him for obviously the postseason. Same with Wood. Maybe he will get 20 to 25 starts in. And if he does, yeah, I think he's going to be a solid pitcher, but no way would I ever predict a 330 ERA.
I'm with you. I think it's more 375 and, you know, for a rookie, that's going to be outstanding, you know? So let's say he does 140 innings and strikes out, you know, 125, 130 guys and comes in at a 376 ERA and wins 8 games. I mean, he's going to be up for votes for rookie of the year.
One would think so, unless somebody like a Colorado first baseman emerges from the pack. But we'll cover that a bit later, right?
Yeah, you were really, really bullish on that. Final Twitter question here. Frank asks, my league is finally stirring. Yay. Opinion, Albies or Kingery, long-term dynasty forever keeper, thanks without the A, THNKS, Timmy. So he's being hip and cool there. What do you think, Timmy? Uh-huh. Frank, Albies or Scott Kingery?
Well, can I be frank with him, Rich?
Yes, Tim.
Well,
for our new listeners, just so you know, this is what we have to deal with. So this is nothing unusual. If this is not your cup of tea, you just turn it off. This is what we got.
It ain't getting no better, Rich.
It ain't going to get any better. 8 years, going on 9 years of this.
Yes, and you're still putting up with me. I
exactly.
You for that, Rich.
That's because I usually get it about 3 days later, and then I start laughing. So that's
I'm sure your board appreciates that in those crucial meetings that you're at.
That's right. That's interesting. Yeah, So Timmy, so what do you think, yes. Albies or King?
Well, I think with Albies, you're looking at 15 home runs, 25 to 30 stolen bases. With Kingery, you're looking at 25 to 30 home runs, 10 to 15 stolen bases. I like both of them. I think it's a matter of picking your poison. I think they're both fine players. Albies has a little bit more short-term value because Kingery's got to find a spot for Kingery, which I think they'll do. But I think if you're looking for power, Kingery's your option. If you're looking for speed, it's Albies.
I think that's well said. And, you know, it's I think there is some risk with Kingery. I did pick him up in my NFBC draft, so I'm hoping I'm wrong here.
Sure.
But he had the breakout year last year, Timmy, and that's what it was.
Right.
It was a breakout year. Now, everybody needs a breakout year. The question is, will it continue? I mean, are we going to see some adjustments? Was he just, you know, did it all come together or was there some luck involved? Obviously, the batting average balls and plays was through the roof. So, you know, there is some of that. At least Albies has got some major league time under him. And speed always plays. So You know, I think so. I think there is less risk at this moment with Albies, but I totally agree with you. I think long term, I think Kingery probably has a bit more upside, just because I think there is more power there and enough speed to make it very interesting.
Yeah, like I said, for this year, there's no doubt you want Albies. But again, the keywords being long term, and I think they're both going to be fine players.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Timmy. So let me get back over to the console here. Let's take a quick break, and we get back. We're going to start on our first base rankings here that Tim has done. And let me see. I think this is it. So I do have a commitment shortly after 9, Timmy. So we are only going to spend about 30 minutes on this, and then we're going to call it a day. And I was telling the listeners as you were coming on that we might double up here soon, either second and third base together or shortstop and third base together, something like that. Maybe do a midweek show or just double up on some Sunday. So I hope that works for you.
Yeah, it does, Rich. I was thinking second base and shortstop, because the middle infield sort of goes together a little bit. But I'm thinking we're definitely I want to have these done, wrapped on the site and ready to go for March 1st. Anything after March 1st, you're starting to cut into draft time pretty seriously. And I'd like that information to be there for our listeners. So whatever we have to do to make it work, let's get her done.
Okay. And Timmy, look, dude, when you get to the outfield and starting pitcher, you can't do 300, because this is – you get – you had 65 first basemen. So that's going to be like 120 – I know. You're killing me. So don't go to – if you go to 300 starting pitchers, you're going to hear from me, McLeod.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm also going to hear from myself, and it's not going to be pretty. So
that's going to be good. So we're going to go through Tim's rankings, and then we'll compare that currently at the NFBC. And there's been 42 drafts there. That's really the best, you know, real drafts that we have to go on. So Tim's top 10 are pretty interesting. I mean, Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Gallo, 1 and 2, no dispute about that. Then you get Anthony Rizzo, 3, Jose Abreu, 4, Freddie Freeman, 5, Corey Bellinger, 6, Edwin Encarnacion, 7, Will Myers, 8, Reese Hoskins, 9, after blowing onto the scenes, the guy without a job, Eric Hosmer, 10. So, Timmy, again, Paul Goldschmidt, Joey Gallo, Joey Votto, no dispute about that, 1 and 2, and I think that's the way
it'll
go.
Right.
So, where you differ from the NFBC, the NFBC has Freddie Freeman followed by Cody Bellinger, then Anthony Rizzo, Jose Abreu. You've got Anthony Rizzo, Jose Abreu, then Freddie Freeman, Cody Bellinger. So the NFBC seems to be very big on Freddie Freeman, and you're a little less so.
Well, yeah, marginally less. You're looking at any, I think. When you look at Rizzo, Rizzo, Freeman, Abreu, you can pretty well cut them as far as I'm concerned anywhere. I'm a little bit more bullish on Jose Abreu, because I just think you look at the numbers and like it's 30, 100, 300, and it just on and on and on it goes. I think he's the safest of those three picks. But all three, I think, should be going, I will say, within about 6 or 7 draft slots of one another. So you say one, I say the other. I don't think it makes that much difference, really.
Yeah, all I remember about Jose Abreu, and I got really lucky here, Timmy. I traded him for Eric Thames in an Eric Thames deal. And Jose Abreu, I think at the beginning of May, was batting 180, 190 with like one home run. And I bet on the come that he was going to be 30 and 100 again. And, that's what happened. But, I mean, that first month of the year, Timmy, I know for a fact, because I bought low on him, it was ugly, but
right,
he turned it around.
Yeah, every player will have a slump at some point in time. Kudos to you, Rich. You picked the right time to and what did our friend in Milwaukee do? I think he hit 27 home runs in April. That worked out well.
Yeah, I still think there's something there. I mean, it's just I like the guy a lot, and you can get him for a song this year. And I don't know. We'll see where you rank us. He is still first base eligible. Cody Bellinger, Timmy, broke onto the scene. We don't need to go to what he did last year. Does he build on that, or do we see a little bit of regression?
I'm thinking we see a small amount of regression. It's pretty tough to build on the numbers that he produced as what, a 22-year-old?
I know.
Yeah. You know, if he goes this year, if he goes 35-95 with a .260 batting average, I don't think anybody's got any reason to complain.
Yeah, I think it's the batting average that we're going to see the regression in, because, I mean, the strikeouts are pretty voluminous, right? So, I mean, there is swing and miss in the bat. So you would expect that to correct a little bit, and it started to do that in the second half. One of the things, if we take a look at those next five, to me, I mean, the one guy that really sticks out is Rhys Hoskins. NFBC has drafted him as the seventh first baseman off the board, which – you know, for those of us who fell in love with Brett Lurie and remember that debacle of 150 at-bats, and again, he didn't do what Rhys Hoskins did, but it wasn't a whole lot less, and Brett Lurie is out of baseball now. Not to say that Rhys Hoskins is, but man, you worry about those guys that just have less than a half a season and taking them that high in the draft. I mean, I just don't have the courage to do that.
Well, and there's a few players that fall into that category. At first base, you've got Olson. You know, you're looking at Aaron Judge. You're looking at Hoskins, Bellinger. We saw some pretty, pretty incredible seasons last year from a lot of players, and it'll be very interesting to see how that shakes down this year. One of my concerns with Hoskins, and I know he played some outfield last year, but mm-hmm. is he a full-time outfielder? Is there the potential there to affect his at-bats somewhat if he does have problems in the outfield, Richard?
I think so, Timmy. And look, and I've seen the guy play a number of times because living in New Jersey, I saw the Double-A Phillies team and the Triple-A Phillies team all the time. And I saw him play left field before, and it is not good. So don't let any of the Philadelphia newspapers say that he's going to be serviceable. He is a below average outfielder. So I think there's a chance for him to be affected by that, Tim.
Well, yeah, I think it's just something that, you know, hey, I think you're looking at 30, 35, potentially 40 home runs out of Hoskins, but it's just a concern that's sort of lurking in the back of my mind. It's one of the reasons that I have Will Myers higher than him. You know, the power is definitely not as prestigious out of Will Myers, but you're going to get 20 stolen bases and you add the two of them together, and that's not a bad boat to be floating, is it?
Timmy, I, you know, maybe I'm crazy, and you know, I know I'm not as good a player as you for sure, but there is no way I'm taking Rhys Hoskins as number seven in the overall draft. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that.
No, not with the depth of talent at first base. I have a tendency to totally agree with you on that one. Wait a little bit and get Josh Bell. You know, hey, Justin Smoke. Miggy's fallen a little bit. Eric Hosmer's boring, but there's lots of options at first base. Locking yourself into somebody at an early ADP where there's some question marks, it comes with risk.
You got Jose Abreu as a 45 ADP, so bottom of the third round. Rhys Hoskins, seven. You need Rhys Hoskins seven picks later. No way. And, you know, I can get Will Myers, Timmy, as you're putting Will Myers ahead. Will Myers and get him 20 picks later and get him a round and a half later. I mean, done like dinner. I mean, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, hey, the batting average is definitely a question mark with Myers, but – you know, I think 25 to 30 home runs, 15 to 20 stolen bases as a floor. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. And if Timmy and I are wrong at the end of the year and Rhys Hoskins hits 55 home runs with a 300 batting average, we will say we were wrong, Timmy. But as you're sitting here in the draft time, you this first handful of picks, Timmy, you got to be a little risk adverse there. And, you know, I'm sure somebody will take, you know, in consecutive pick, they'll take Aaron Judge in the first round, and they'll take Rhys Hoskins in the fourth round, and you know, they'll play the risk game, and sometimes it comes up money for them, but most of the times that is a fool's errand. It will not work out for the person.
No, what I'm prepared to do, Rich, is in the Arizona Fall League next year, when I'm there, hopefully I am, I will hand out free Reese's Pieces to everybody should he have a better year than Will Myers. How's that?
So individual Reese's Pieces. So, Tim, you'll hand a person one Reese's Pieces or a bag of Reese's Pieces?
Oh, you do listen well, Rich. You darn well.
So Tim's going to go buy a 90-cent going to buy a 90-cent bag of Reese's Pieces and hand out 30 of them. That's very economical, Tim. Very benevolent.
Well, not only that.
As well.
Not only that, Rich, is I was going to wait till after Halloween when they're 50% off.
There you go. So, Tim, your next four picks, I'll just do all five because they're fascinating because they really differ from the NFBC, and I think would love to hear your thoughts on it. Coming in at number 11 is Carlos Santana. Justin Smoke, who we know Tim loves, at number 12. Josh Bell at 13. Miguel Cabrera, wow, Miguel Cabrera at 14, deservedly so at 14. And Joey Gallo at 15. So, Timmy, I was shocked at this when because I have Carlos Santana on my NFBC team. He's going
right.
ADP of 22 in the NFBC. All I can figure is maybe he did some of the early drafts because he wasn't signed. That hurt his. But I can't believe that he's going as a 22nd first baseman off the board.
I can't either. You know, I think the move to Philly, the better park. I think Santana is being seriously undervalued right now. And, you know, it's an exciting young team with a lot of great young talent. I'm expecting Carlos Santana to earn his keep on that $20 million year over three. 22nd is just way, way too late for me. Way too late.
I agree. And I don't know where I got him. I have to go back and take a look. But man, I saw that. I felt really good. And I was shocked when I saw it was the 22nd. And again, particularly in an on-base percentage league, I mean, Carlos Santana walks a ton. I mean, he strikes out a lot, so the batting average isn't great. But man, in an on-base percentage league, Timmy, it's money.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Now, Justin Smoke, I struggle with, Timmy, and you said it was no smoke and mirrors. It was just plain old smoke. And it was very funny, very cute. But I don't know. Edwin Encarnacion did it. J.D. Martinez. I mean, you hear about this stuff all the time where it just clicks late in a guy's career. And Jose Bautista, there's a number of these guys. I mean, you clearly think it's happened with Justin Smoke. I'm just not sold.
Yeah, no, I clearly do. And, you know, Smoke is going to prove that I'm here for more than just my charm and cuteness, Rich.
Yeah, right. Well, it'll be interesting. So, Timmy, 30-plus home runs, right? I mean, that's if you're taking them that high, you have to believe the 30 are in the bag.
Yeah, I'm betting on 35-plus.
Wow. Josh Bell, Tim, another bold pick, ADP of 13, your rank is 13, ADP is 21. I got to tell you, Timmy, I love it because I've always been a huge fan of Josh Bell. And I think one year he's going to blow up, and it could very well be this year. He's had enough time in the major leagues that he's probably gotten accustomed to it. And I think there's a chance for power and batting average there.
Yeah, I like Josh Bell. I really do. And, yeah, I think he's at the right age. I'm a little concerned that the Pirates are selling everybody and moving everybody off. But at the same point in time, hey, somebody will be hitting in the leadoff in the second spot, and they will get on base, and Josh Bell will still have some RBI opportunities. So I just think he's going to step it up this year and prove that he's a top 15 first base.
Yeah. Speaking of top 15 first base, sneaking in is Miguel Cabrera, Timmy. It's a deserved ranking of 14. I don't know what you do with him. I do own him in a dynasty league, and I'm kind of stuck with him because, I mean, you hope that there's a bounce back, but there's no way you or I could ever – we can't say there's going to be a bounce back. We just don't know.
Well, no. We're dealing with two herniated discs in his back. It's hard to give a guy a mulligan for that, as I mentioned in my piece, Rich. You just don't know. He's going to be one of those players that some people are going to say, I told you so, and a whole bunch of other people are going to say, I told you so, And he's going to be ranked all over the place, depending on how conservative or how aggressive. And nobody really knows. I'm just playing what I believe is the cards that and the information that I've been dealt. And that back really concerns me. It does.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he could come back and be 90% of Miguel Cabrera, and we're both going to look stupid. But again, as we're sitting here at the end of late part of January, nobody knows. You're absolutely right. And if you guess right and you take Miguel Cabrera early and he turns back into 90% of congratulations. You can't say that you knew that was going to happen. You'd be lying, Timmy.
Well, yeah, pull out the dice, roll them, and hope they don't come up snake eyes, right?
Joey Gallo at 15, Timmy, you know, and that's the player he is. He's going to hit 40 home runs and bat 210 unless he gets lucky and he bats 230, 240. But on base percentage leagues, he's going to help you there because he gets on base a lot. But in a traditional batting average league, a rotisserie league, he's going to hurt you. In a points league, he's money in these. He's money in the bank because you don't care about batting average there. So a lot depends on where you take Joey Gallo. Depends on your format, but he is who he is.
Well, yeah, he is, and he's nothing to whine about.
Nothing to whine about. I say, Joey Gallo whine. I knew there was something in there, Tony. Got it. See, everyone? Got it. It took me, what, 3 seconds to get that one? So I knew there was something
Bravo,
in there.
My friend, bravo.
Yeah, there you go. I don't drink wine, Tim. I don't drink any alcohol of any substance. So I'm a teetotaler, so I don't really I know what Gallo wine is. In fact, I think I've been to a Gallo winery before. You know, and it's weird when everybody's drinking wine and you ask, can you have a sparkling water? And they kind of look at you weird. But, great American brand. Anyway, the second 15 to me, let me just whip these off real quickly. Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Olson, 17, Ian Desmond, 18, Greg Bird, 19, Matt Carpenter, 20, Trey Mancini, 21, Yulinski Gurriel, 22, Marwin Gonzalez, 23, Ryan McCann, 24. Not to stop at Buster Posey, 25th. Buster Posey's ADP is 9, but that's because he's being primarily drafted as a catcher, so we're going to ignore him there. Timmy, clearly there's a lot of love for Ryan McMahon. His ADP is coming up at 37. You're expecting big things of him, thinking he should be a corner infielder for you.
Yeah, I think the bat is ready, and he's one of those players that I'm willing to step off that ledge and hoping that he winds up playing first base in Colorado and they keep Ian Desmond in the outfield. And I think he's ready, and only time will tell, but I'm being very bullish on Ryan McMahon.
Are you worried that they'll re-sign Mark Reynolds since he had a great year last year, 30 home runs, batting average, got a bat pushing his batting average. He has changed his approach and swing, blah, 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 blah. I mean, are you worried that they might re-sign him?
I'm thinking now, if I'm not mistaken, McMahon's 24. He's put in his time. At some point in time, the Rockies are going to have to say, okay, it's this kid's time. And I'm betting on it being this year. So no, I'm not concerned. At the same point in time, I wouldn't be shocked if it does occur. And if it does, well, hey, I screwed up. Let's get McMahon down to the 40th spot, right?
That's what sucks about the work we do, Timmy, because we do a lot of lists, and it's there for all eternity. I could always go and delete stuff, but it's there for anybody to go look mid-season and go, what were you thinking, McLeod? So that's what we have.
Well, yeah, and you know what? At some point in time, you have to take and I think be aggressive on certain players based on what you know and what you believe. And it's I didn't pull Ryan McMahon's name out of a hat. You know, you look at the numbers he's posted in the minors. You look at his age. You look at the potential opportunity. You weigh all that together, and you're still wrong half the time, Rich.
Ryan Zimmerman at 16, Timmy, that's another one. I have no clue. I know it must have been difficult for you to rank him. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman was terrible though, 2-3 years before. I mean, terrible. And he had this remarkable season, at least two-thirds of a season. He started to turn back into Ryan Zimmerman at the end of the year. But I have no idea what this guy is going to do next year.
Well, all you have to do is take a look at his three preceding seasons, and the cumulative total of his home runs in those three seasons equals what he did last year. Who knows? Is he going to stay healthy? What's he going to produce? I think it's a reasonable spot to put him in, and I can't draft him as a 36-110 sort of player. I just can't, based on what we've seen. Another player like Miggy, if you draft him a bit earlier and you get a repeat of last year, congratulations, you did very well. I'm having a hard time believing we'll see that 2 years in a row, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, his batting average last year was .303. Babbitt was .335. And the year before, years before that, I mean, his Babbitt was averaging .250, .260. And so you're looking at an 80-point difference in his career batting average of balls in play, which means he was getting a little lucky. I don't think he got faster, Timmy. So all of a sudden, 80 points less, maybe loses some playing time, all of a sudden doesn't have all the opportunities for at-bats, and all of a sudden everything starts to correct. So I think there will be some regression with Ryan Zimmerman. So I think everybody knows that who's even remotely experienced in this game.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be shocked if he hit 22 home runs with 75 RBIs and a .260 batting average.
Yeah, totally agree. Timmy, we're going to finish this up, take a quick break, and we get back, we're going to talk about the worst omission ever. I shouldn't say omission. I should just say mistake. Just clearly a mistake.
It was definitely a faux de pas.
So we finished up. Let's just take it 26-30. 26, Chris Davis, that is the first baseman from Baltimore. Justin Bour at 27. Ryan Healy with an O. Eric Thames at 29. And here's the just blasphemy, Timmy. I don't even know if we can be friends anymore. Brandon Belt at number 30.
Yes, but I am 1 point better than the NFBC.
That's true. I didn't even get Brandon Belt in my NFBC draft. Somebody scooped me. I handpicked three first basemen. That was awful. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. It's just terrible. Justin Bour, though, still interests me a little bit. I know he doesn't hit lefties very well, and I know there's nobody else in Miami, but I think the power is real.
Yeah, I think the power is real. The reason I downshifted a little bit is because the power might be real, but the RBI ops are going to be real as well. And that team's going to be butt ugly this year, Rich. It really is.
Finishing just a couple more handpicking these things. Logan Morrison at 31, Yonder Alonso at 32, Adrian Gonzalez at 33, Mitch Moreland at 34, Jose Martinez at 35, Wilmer Flores, Joe Mauer. It starts to get into part-time players. But Logan Morrison, free agent, hit a lot of home runs last year, and so did Yonder Alonso at Cleveland. Timmy, why are they ranked so low?
Where is Logan Morrison going to play? There's not a whole lot of opportunities for first base DH types out there, and Morrison might find himself taking the Kendrys Morales route to playing time. I'm just a little concerned that he might not have himself a full-time job when it's all said and done. And I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up signing, you know, just a very short-term one-year deal and maybe in a platoon situation somewhere.
Yonder Alonso, Timmy, big first half, changed the swing. And it was fascinating. I actually heard an interview with Charlie Morton today. And he talked about something I've talked about actually on this show is, you know, Charlie Morton was a ground ball specialist for years and was completely unsuccessful. It wasn't until he started throwing harder and actually started throwing more four seamers and Pittsburgh first started him doing that. And then the Astros really changed his pitch mix. And of course the rest they say is history. And he brought up the fact that everybody is going low. Everybody's doing the Mike Trout swing, which is you throw the ball down, he's going to yoke it out. And he said that with the change in the swings and all, Yonder Alonso was a guy that used to be a level swing and has now kind of got the windmill swing. He's doing up and down, and that's what happened. Pitchers are starting to adjust to that. They're figuring out what's happening. So people like Yonder Alonso, who aren't naturally big, strong guys, I do worry that they will be exposed once the league starts to adjust. Because, again, Charlie Morton, smart guy, very cerebral in his approach. And once the, you know, world champions figured it out, everybody's going to start copying them. And that pitch mix will start the change. And you're going to see less two-seamers being thrown, less sinkers being thrown, and more high five fastballs if you've got the velocity to throw it up there.
Yeah, the high inside at 92, 93, that'll do the job when you're expecting something down in the dirt, right?
Absolutely, Timmy. There's a whole kind of science behind that. It's called impacted velocity, or what you think. It's the ball plays tricks on you when it's pitched in certain regions, and the ball looks like it's coming faster than it actually is. So it really does, location is very, very important as to where it's pitched, and it depends on righty or lefties and so forth. But I guess long-winded response to, I'm worried about Yonder Alonso.
I'm not drafting Yonder Alonso. I'm staying right away from that situation. If you look at his numbers, the second half wasn't pretty, not at all.
The Mets signed Adrian Gonzalez, your number 33 guy, Timmy. And I mean, he was hurt last year. Is there any chance that he can become a 20 home run guy again, or is it just done?
I think the potential is still there for him. Adrian Gonzalez to hit 20 home runs. And, you know, when you look at Dominic Smith, I've got him ranked about 8 slots lower. I think they're going to give Gonzalez an opportunity to get in pretty decent at bats. So, I've got him ranked somewhere. I've got him ranked exactly between Yonder Alonso and Mitch Moreland. And I think that's attainable.
Okay. So, Timmy, let's talk a couple, just a few more analysis, and we'll wrap it up. So who in the top 10 of your first baseman will not be there next year? So who are you most worried about in that top 10?
The one that I'm most worried about, I'm not really, and that would be Eric Hosmer at 10. He's safe. He's boring. You know, I think – Hosmer has the biggest potential to be removed from that top 10, but due to nothing that he does, it's just we might see players posting better numbers that bump them back. How's that?
What about, I agree with that. What about Eddie Encarnacion, a guy who is starting to get fairly old, Timmy? The power is still there, but he really struggled at times last year.
He's heading into his age 36. Season, I still think there's another year, maybe two, in the tank. So, you know, if I was to look at players to rank coming out of the top 10, yeah, after Hosmer comes E5, and you know, if you want to go with the kids, well, hey, what happens if Rhys Hoskins really does struggle with the outfield and it affects his bat? You know, those are the ones that I would predict. I think they're the easiest ones to predict.
Yeah, E5 is turned 35 in January, so 2 weeks ago, Timmy. So
okay.
He's in his 35th year. I mean, it's the baseball terms, he's way over the hill. So you could see regression coming at any point. So he's a guy that does bother me a little bit in that top 10. So who outside the top 10, Timmy? It happens every year. Rhys Hoskins was not a top 10 guy last year. He bounced somebody else out. I mean, who is going to be those one or two players that – you'll start to see his top 10 players next season as we're sitting here doing these rankings?
Well, I think Josh Bell has definitely the potential. And if Joey Gallo hits the 47 home runs that I think I called for a few weeks back, hey, Joey Gallo, if he gets the batting average into the 230, 240 range with 47 home runs, he could be a top 10. He could be a top 10 type first baseman, Rich. I'm going to go with those two, Gallo and Bell.
What about Matt Olson? I mean, tell me, is there a chance that he could become a top 10 guy?
Yeah, sure. If he If he hits 40-plus home runs and keeps the batting average above the Mendoza line, yeah, definitely.
All right, Timmy, final question. Give me a couple really deep sleepers after 2025 of guys that you really are curious about this year, maybe not drafting, or maybe guys that you're just going to flat-out draft just because you think there's something there.
The one guy that intrigues me, and again, you know the way I play the game. It's all about opportunity, but right now, Kansas City's first baseman, I believe, is Ryan O'Hearn. Okay, if Hosmer doesn't go back to the Royals, Ryan O'Hearn could end up getting potentially full-time at-bats. So he intrigues me. Jose Martinez intrigues me, but I'm concerned about his playing time opportunities. I don't see Carpenter hanging in at third base. So if Martinez can get the at-bats, he's another player that intrigues me. And, you know, hey, if Thames totally struggles, Jesus Aguilar in Milwaukee could find his at-bats increased, and he's shown pop.
I think there's some really good names there, Timmy. I love the Ryan O'Hearn number. I always liked him. He's always ranked fairly well for me in my Kansas City prospect list. I really do like Ryan McMahon. I'm totally on with your logic. I think, I mean, I know he's at 24. I said after 25, but I cheat him. So I think there's something there, and I think he will get the opportunity, and I think he's a guy that will make movement, particularly in Colorado. I also like two other players on here, and I think there is value with your friend from Eric Thames from Milwaukee. I think he returns more than 24th, 25th out of the box. Actually, he's 25 ADP going. You have him ranked 29. I just think there's more there with Eric Thames.
Okay.
And then finally, the other guy I really like, and call me crazy, is Dominic Smith. I think he will get the job by midseason, and I still believe he'll hit with some power. It's a big, strong kid. Really good defensive player, really good back control. I like him a lot, and I still do. Dynasty leagues, I'm still trying to buy him, Tim.
Okay, well, now is the right time to buy him. I guess my big concern when I look at Smith is, why did they bring in Gonzalez? That would, you know, I get that maybe there's a mentoring aspect there. It's either the mentoring aspect or they don't believe in Smith. It's one or the other, right?
Yeah, and I think you're probably right. They probably don't believe in Smith yet, and they probably still think he's still very young. They still think that he might fail, and they want to, you know, whether the Yankees do last year with, the guy who hit 45 home runs the year before, Chris Carter. Remember, they brought him in. I mean, people bring in insurance guys all the time, and, yeah, I think that it was probably a gamble with Adrian Gonzalez. What if he turns out to be really good? Can they move him midseason? And try to get something for him. So, you know, it's probably some of that going on. But you're right. They probably are not totally bought in with Dom Smith.
Yeah, it's just sort of a concern of mine. And hey, I get the Smith thing fully. And yeah, I got to give you kudos for Ryan McMahon, because you're the guy that brought him up a couple of weeks ago and really, really caused me to look a lot deeper. I believe it was a Twitter question.
Yeah.
You mentioned who's a potential Rookie of the Year candidate. And, you know, I it's not that I was completely void of McMahon thoughts, but definitely that discussion played into me doing a lot more research and looking at it a bit deeper. So kudos to you, Rich.
Oh, I appreciate that, Timmy. And it is going to come down to playing time. If they re-sign Mark Reynolds, maybe it'll be a Chris Carter type thing, just in case Ryan McMahon struggles. But I thought you brought it up well. At some point, you got to give the guy a chance. I mean, why do you have him? Like, you know, are you going to wait till he's 28 and then finally give him a chance? He's done well in the minor leagues, particularly last year. So it seems like he is ready for the shot. Whether he succeeds or not, we don't know. But the shot is there. The park is there. The talent is all there. And that's all we can do at this juncture is figure that stuff out and then talk about him.
Well, yeah, it's Colorado. It's not Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay, right?
That's correct. That's true. So, you know, and you should see him. I think you'll see him out at the beginning of the year, particularly at 24 years old. They'll own him for 6 years till he's 30. And, you know, that's they'll get him for his good years and then let him go on. So, Timmy, it's been a hoot. Great stuff, as always. Again, you can go out to Prospect 361 and just simply go out there, and you will see them ranked under the Fantasy Tim's stage, and you will see them there with the catchers. Timmy, great job, as always.
Thanks, Rich. Had a lot more fun with first base than I did with catchers, even though I did commit an E5.
That's not very true. We won't bring that up, Timmy. Very easy to fix. Timmy, anything to say? So you've got your writing more this week, and any more magazine stuff coming out?
No, the magazine's now out. I read through it. Every year, you always sort of look at it, and it sort of seems a little surreal, Rich, in that your name's in print somewhere. And I'm as excited today as the very, very first capsule I wrote on Daisuke Matsuzaka to see it come out. So the magazine's out. Sunday mornings, you can catch me on the Fantasy Network with Joe Pisapia and his little black book. And other than that, I'm just plugging away. And at some point in time, we're going to have to figure out when we're doing our mock draft. So we can get moving on that. So just a busy time, but a good time, Richard.
Good. So I've got some stuff going on. I hopefully, fingers crossed, my top 100 starts to drop sometime later this week. It is basically done.
Ooh.
It's written.
I've got it.
Them ranked. I'm in the quiet phase, Timmy, where I've put it away for 2 or 3 days and I'm going to look at it again. I've gotten feedback from a number of people in the industries that I liked. And they've, of course, said, "You're crazy on this person." I go, "Yes, I am. Thank you very much." So we'll see. I feel pretty good about the list. So probably a couple more tweaks, and hopefully Wednesday, Thursday, the first 25 will drop or 76 to 100. I know everybody's anxious to see that. So they start coming out, Tim.
Well, and that's good, because we got to have those names, Rich. For some of us that do dynasty leagues that are A, either incompetent, B, lazy, and C, want expert advice, that stuff comes in pretty handy, Rich. I know I use it each and every year because I can be all three of those things.
Ah, Tim. I'm happy to help. I know people generally like did they do that, and they kind of with everybody else, but I'm very proud of the list. I know I work hard on it, so that's the most important thing. But anyway, Timmy, we will see you next Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel.
Yes, we certainly will. Be well, my friend. Have a good week.
Take care.